Hello, it's John again, and I'm talking to my friend Ryan Hodgkinson about long distance cycling. And last time he was talking to us about riding back from the Czech Republic and hundreds of miles and what a wonderful trip, and that set him up for doing even more. And I think it's become quite a regular part of his life now that he does fairly long distance trips each year and clocks up a lot of miles. So I wonder if could he take us from, you know, from after the Czech Republic journey, what did he do next, Brian?
Well, another thing that the sort of the Todd Harriers do, quite a few of them have camper vans, and in January, February, they've been tending for a number of years now to go over to Spain.
Oh.
To the same campsite every year they go to. It's called Val de l'Agua, is the village that the campsite's in, and it's in the hills behind Benidorm.
Right.
And they've been going there for a long number of years, so about, I think I've been four times now, and so I thought, well, before I'd been, I thought, I'll give that a go, and they kept saying, why don't you come over and join us in Spain? And this campsite has chalets.
Ah, on the right, campsite. Yeah, yeah.
So I haven't got a camper van, so I hired a chalet. And first year that I went over, because the chalet will sleep five people, it's mainly for like mum, dad and three children.
Mm.
But one or two other harriers and people I cycle with have come and stayed with me for odd weeks while I've been there. And I go there and I've been doing all the cycling there, which it's one of the places that a lot of the pro teams go to during the winter.
Aye,
for the training.
To train,
yeah.
I see, yeah.
And you see, we've seen Mark Cavendish and out there cycling and all the pro teams. And I've gone out there and they also do running, climbing, walking, swimming. A lot of them do swimming in the sea as well, but you have to have wetsuits in January.
Yeah,
it's a bit cold. But I just, again, mainly cycle because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem to affect me in any way. So if I were to start running or anything, I'd probably end up with bad knees or other problems. So I just cycle.
But you're lucky that way, that your health is quite robust at the moment, anyway.
Yeah.
Good.
The first year I were there, I think I cycled 500 miles in the month
month
I was there.
Right.
And then over the years, that's built up. And last year when I was there in the month, I managed to do 1,000 miles over in Spain.
Right.
Over there, which, for my total for the year, 1,000 miles in January is a good start to the year. Because you wouldn't get 1,000 miles in this country in January.
No. I was going to ask about the weather. I mean, people go abroad, don't they, for the winter from here?
Yeah.
And you find the weather's better over there.
Yeah, there can be frost in the morning. Mm-hmm. We've got to be careful setting out, especially up in the hills. There can be frost on sort of sheltered, shaded corners and things.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be careful.
Right.
But once the sun's up and it starts warming up, it's in the high teens.
It
can even get into the low 20s, but it's normally like a normal summer's day here, really.
Mm-hmm. So it's pleasant.
It's pleasant for cycling.
Right,
in, yeah.
I see.
This last year when I was there, the weather wasn't just as good. We had a little bit more rain, but I still managed to do me 1,000 miles.
Right. Yeah, so of course we heard about the bad weather over there and how it affected fruit production and that kind of thing.
Right. And 1 year before that, we'd won heavy rainstorm. The campsite is like built on shelves in the hillside. And it was just like a waterfall down through the campsite. It rained for about 2 days, and it did rain. It was proper rain.
Mm.
And it was just flooded, was the campsite.
I see. But because you were in the chalet.
Because I were in a chalet, I was okay.
Yeah.
Taking pictures of the water rushing past the chalet.
Yeah.
But happy. A couple of days later, and we were back out cycling again.
Right, I see. So you do this more or less, well, you've been doing it for, what, 4 years?
For 4 years, yeah. I booked again for next year, because these chalets are quite at a premium, so if you want to go again, and I like the particular chalet that I'm in, it's sort of at the front of the campsite, and it gets the sun. And they've got some other chalets which are at the back of the campsite, and they're shaded and they don't get the sun, which in high summer will be what people want.
Right,
but
yes.
In the winter,
you're better with these.
Yeah, you want the sun. Mm. And so we get the sun first thing in the morning. That's usually when I get up, when the sun starts coming through the window. So I book it every year before I leave. I book it for the year after.
Right.
So that's booked for next year, so fingers crossed they'll be going again.
And of course, when you're on the campsite, like, as you say, you'll have the facilities there for showers and all that kind of thing at the end of a day's cycling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Elizabeth was saying a moment or two since, when you're out on the road, though, how do you manage, you know, for, you know, the domestic side of life?
You mean like when I'm on a trip, like the one from Prague?
And
I mean, you're on a campsite. Most of them have places where you can wash your clothes, and I try perhaps to make your clothing last about 3 days, what you're cycling in, and before it gets a bit too
wanky.
And then usually wash it, and hopefully you've time to hang it out in the sun to start drying, but if not, then next day we'll end up tying it onto the back of our panniers and let it blow in the breeze as we're cycling along.
Right.
But they're all little things that you get used to doing things.
And means.
Yeah.
So you've come back now from, you've been to Spain this last winter.
Yes,
And it's only, when we're recording this, it's right at the end of May, but already you've had quite a long trip in this country, haven't you?
Yeah.
So how did that come about?
Well, that was a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were again planning what to do. We usually have a trip somewhere around May time. various ideas were thrown around, and we ended up with getting the train to Portsmouth. And then we stayed in a travel... This one we didn't camp. This was staying in travel lodges and hostels and B&Bs. And the beauty of travel lodges is they let you take your bike in the bedroom.
Into the bedroom?
Yeah.
So
you can have the bike with you.
Yeah.
So we went to Portsmouth, stayed in a travel lodge. Next morning got the ferry across to the Isle of Wight. Rode around three quarters of the Isle of Wight. We didn't do it all. We rode around as far as Yarmouth,
mm-hmm.
and then we crossed across over to Lymington.
So
that we could then set off home up through the New Forest. So that's what we did. And the weather was just perfect.
Was it really? Up through the New Forest.
Yeah, and we called it Buckler's Hard.
Oh yes.
On the way there, and and Bewley, went through Bewley as well.
Right. So do you sort of stop and you mentioned Buckler's Hard and its connection with the Royal Navy in the past, and then Bewley and so on, and the Motor Museum. Do you do any sightseeing or not?
Only in the, like, we stopped at Buckler's Hard and had a wander around and took some photographs, and then Bewley, we sort of went through the village of Bewley, but we didn't go... We hadn't really time to go and visit museums.
No, that's not what you're going for.
No. But we sort of see these places as we go along. And then from there we went to Salisbury. And again, we got to Salisbury with time to just look in the cathedral, see the Magna Carta. And there at Salisbury we stayed in the Sarum College.
Right.
Which is in the grounds of the cathedral, and it's part of the cathedral buildings. And
I didn't know
it's
that.
It's like a hostel. It's the sort of the rooms that the students and visiting people stay in.
Ah.
And it's one that you can book, and that was really nice. And one of the best breakfasts we got there, and we also had it with about 89 Swedish Vickers as well. Oh. We're having breakfast at the same time as us.
And did you sort of swap stories with them, or was it just a case of they're in the same room?
No, they were just in the same room. So what they were there for, I don't know, probably some seminar or some meeting.
Well, it was a cathedral after all, so I'll have to let them off.
On
a business trip.
Probably more right to be there than we had. And then from there we went to rode past Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Chatted with all the American tourists there. And and then from there on to Bath. And we had a night in Bath, again in a travel lodge.
Yeah.
That wasn't one of the best travel lodges. It was a bit dated and a bit weary. And we were on the third floor and the lift wasn't working.
Oh, no, and you need bikes. We had
to take our bikes up to the third floor.
you mentioned when we were chatting earlier, you went through a tunnel somewhere. Whereabouts was that?
Yeah, well, from Bath to Bristol, there's more or less the whole way, it's about 15 mile on an old railway track.
Oh!
And it's called the Two Tunnels Route. And one of the tunnels is over a mile long. And it's got lighting in it, not very bright lighting, but enough lighting so that you can see where you're going. And,
I see.
But yeah, again, really interesting.
Were you saying there's music in these tunnels?
Yes, there was. Every so often you'd pass a speaker that was playing classical music, which I assume is on a loop and it just keeps playing and playing.
To spur you on your way.
Yeah. And then from there, from Bristol, we went over the Severn Bridge. It's just come to my mind now that quite a lot of our journeys we come across road closed signs.
Really?
It's but one of our things that we never get stopped by a road closed sign, so we usually carry on. And more often than not, you can walk through it, or you can throw your bike over an edge and walk around and get back. Anyway, we saw a road closed sign, this heading towards the Severn Bridge, and when we got to it, it was closed.
Oh.
And we just crossed a really busy main road. It was really busy, coaches, lorries, it was horrendous. And we crossed this road, got to the other side, and it was all locked. There was no way you could get through.
Oh, heavens.
And we were thinking, I thought, I'm not riding on that main road. I'm going to go back and find another route. And just at that point, a pickup truck arrived. And it was one of the workmen for the work thing, and he said, it's closed, you can't go down here. We said, no. And usually we can get through one way or another. He said, well, we don't fancy this road at all. Hang on a minute, he said. So he went back to his truck, got his keys, unlocked the gates on this blockage, drove his truck through and said, right, off you go then. And he drove through, and it was a new road that they were making, and it was more or less finished. They were more working on the sides of it than the actual road. And he went ahead, and this was probably a couple of miles most. And he got to the other end and must have told the people at the other end that he'd let us through.
I see.
And the gate was open at the other
end. And they let you out?
Yeah, and we're straight down this road out the other side.
Right.
And somebody was looking after us that day.
So you're a pioneer. And next time when you go down in the car, you say, oh, you'll bring back the whole story. So whereabouts were you now?
We've now crossed the Severn Bridge.
Right, yeah.
And we were heading towards Monmouth.
Ah, right.
We had a youth hostel. We had a youth hostel there, I think, yeah. Just sort of at the beginning of the Wye Valley.
Yeah. Right.
So then next day we were up the Wye Valley.
Went up the Wye Valley.
It said road closed. It were on a cycle track, and it said that the cycle track was closed, and we were heading for Tinton Abbey.
Yes, uh-huh.
And it crosses a bridge over the river just to get into the village. And again, it was closed. There was no way we could get through. The whole bridge was boarded off. They weren't working on it.
Yeah.
And so we had to carry our bikes up a really rugged, rough footpath. It was only a footpath that we managed to get ourselves round it, so we really missed Tintern, because by the time we came back out onto the road, we were beyond it.
Beyond it, right. So by then, you're going up the Wye Valley.
We then left the Wye Valley. I'm trying to think where we went next.
Maybe up into Shropshire somewhere.
It was before Shropshire. We stopped in a pub that night. Can't just remember where we were now. Because my memory's not like it used to be.
Where's all these pubs, Brian?
we're a really nice pub as well. Yeah. And it was quiz night. We entered the quiz that night, and so we had a good night there, and we came second in the quiz.
Very well, then.
We didn't do too badly, no. We got a box of celebrations for that, so we ate them between us. Yeah. I thought we'll have them, so we ate them between us. And then, yes, next day we were off up to Ironbridge.
Yes.
We stayed at Coaldale, which is just before Ironbridge.
Ah, yeah.
And we stayed in the youth hostel there. And,
so again, you'd have all the facilities for refreshing your clothes and having a good shower and so on. Yeah.
On a week's trip, it's not too bad, because you can take, say, 3 pair of shorts with you, cycling shorts.
It's still nice to have a shower or whatever. We
never really miss having a shower every day, you know. But sometimes you have to put the clothes back on again that you had on the day before.
Yeah.
But usually we only take, on a short trip like that, we'll only take one set of sort of going out clothes for the night, you know. Just a T-shirt and some trousers or shorts. And then from... I had a look at Ironbridge next morning, and then there's a massive climb out of the valley to get you up out of the valley, really, and up to the top. So that was hard going first thing in the morning, up out of the valley. And we went through Telford, which we were quite amazed with. It had some wonderful cycleways and one lovely bridge that went over a road, a main road, and that was all glass. It was, really nice.
Especially for cyclists?
Yeah.
Right.
And then eventually ended up in Chester, which was our final destination, because in Chester you can get a direct train to Todd.
Ah, right.
So we got on the train. That saves you going through sort of Manchester and all
Greater
that.
Manchester and all that. Right.
So that was, I can remember how far that was, because it was 365 miles, which is the days in a year.
From where?
From the Isle of Wight.
Portsmouth. From Portsmouth.
Round the Isle of Wight. Round the Isle of Wight was about, I think it was about 60 miles that we did. But then the whole trip was 365 miles. And it was all through... on little lanes and cycle tracks, and the hawthorn blossom and the flowers was just beautiful going through Middle England like that. It was really nice. And it rained once for about an hour in the whole trip, and at that point we happened to be on a muddy cycle track, which when hours worth of rain turned into mud, so we got quite splattered that time. But apart from that, it was perfect.
It was memorable, So you'll be looking forward to your next trip sometime. And
I don't know when that one is at the moment. It's we'll have to wait for the planning stage.
Yeah.
It'll probably be now September time, something like that.
Well, if it's anything like what you've been describing, Brian, it could be absolutely fascinating. And I'm hoping to talk to you later about something connected with cycling, which I think is not your cycling, but something in the past that's come into your your radar recently. We'll talk about that. But thanks for that, and we'll see you next time.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.